you're going to complain, you really should go ahead and do something about it and get in the fight with the rest of them. And if you don't like what's happening, and we cannot change it without doing our research and voting for like-minded people that are ready to fight for our freedom.
In other words, get off your tail and go do something. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another stupendous episode from high above all other pedantic and puerile forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Cowboy State Politics is Wyoming's most listened to political podcast, documented to be almost always right 98.59% of the time. Since the election of 2020, this program has amassed over 80,000 downloads. I've been thinking when we hit 100,000 downloads, we probably ought to have a party at the base of the Bighorns. My guess is that'll probably happen somewhere around the time of the election, where we'll also be celebrating a gigantic conservative wave in the state of Wyoming and in this country. If you look around the state, there are conservative candidates that are running in every corner and in every small town. It's because we're fed up with the liberal policies that have been governing our lives for far too long. And while certainly the more prominent of redcoats reside in our capital city of Cheyenne, we cannot forget that the most important elections, the ones that most directly affect our personal lives, are the ones that are closest to us. It is our local elected officials that determine whether or not that pothole in front of our house gets fixed. So everything in this election cycle is of critical importance. Let's not forget that those people who took away your business and put you on the unemployment line are the same group of folks that are asking for your vote so that they can keep their job. Yeah, I know. Pretty ironic, isn't it? But my friends, conservatism is always the answer. Always. In every race, in every election, we have to elect conservative-minded individuals to all of our public offices. That is the only way that we're going to preserve our personal liberty and for our local communities to thrive. They thrive through smaller government, lower taxation, and individual liberty. After all, who is better equipped to make decisions concerning your life than you? It is not the government's job to tell you to stick a needle in your arm or to put on a mask or to close your business. It's not their job to tell you what your children ought to be taught in school. They don't get to determine when or if they have to listen to public comment. They don't get to tell you what you can do with your own personal property, how tall your grass is, or if you want to rent your house out for a weekend. That's not their decision. That's yours. The government's job, even at the local level, is pretty simple. They're to remain small. There's only a couple of things that the government is responsible for. The streets, water, sewer, police, fire, only the most essential things that the private sector is unable to do on their own. It is for this very reason that Wyoming towns and communities are funded almost exclusively by sales tax. Because it's our choice what our cities and towns do so that they function by the will of the citizenry. The only way that they get any money is if we choose to give it to them, the choice being through what we buy. And so, Wyoming communities are directly responsible to the citizenry. Now, let me ask you something. When is the last time you heard a city councilman or a county commissioner specifically call a community-wide meeting to discuss a particular topic outside of their regularly scheduled meeting? Honestly, when's the last time you heard a city councilman say, "Hey guys, we've got a major problem with this street and we got to figure out what to do with it. Come meet me at 6 o'clock down at the city park." When's the last time you heard a city councilman say anything like that? I'm pretty sure if that had happened, it would have been front page news even in the Pravda on the Platte. Well, they don't do that. They expect you to come to them, which is exactly the opposite of how an employee should behave. And it's for this reason that we don't allow communities to raise taxes on their own. They must function at the behest of the people that live in their community, period. When we start accepting more and more state money, and by the way, the state doesn't have its own money. Neither do cities or towns or special districts or any of those things. It's all our money, and we are the masters of it. So when we hear special districts and city councils say things like, we're going to take reserve funds and buy this, even when the community tells them not to, we have to remind them that it's not their money, it's ours. Balancing the budget does not mean that you can take money out of the savings account to pay for the things that you want. If you are doing that, it means that you're spending way too much money and you need to stop. And we have elected officials all across the state of Wyoming that don't seem to grasp that simple concept, that they are the employee and we are the employer. And so we have to elect conservative-minded people to every position. So I was surprised to find out that nobody in the city of Buffalo signed up to run for city council. Crazy, I know. I didn't sign up to run like I did in the last election simply because I thought I wanted to focus exclusively on the program. And it wasn't until a friend of mine reminded me of a couple of things I'm fond of saying that, you know, if you're having trouble finding a candidate, maybe that candidate is you. Oh, yeah, and there's that other one that if you have the power to change something and you do nothing, then you're just as guilty as the people that perpetrated this whole mess. And so I'm announcing my candidacy for the Buffalo City Council. And so since nobody filed to run for that office, all candidates will have to do a write-in campaign, which if you think about it, that's almost the precise way that our democratic republic is supposed to function. That there will be no names printed on the primary ballot and all votes will have to be written in. It should be a heck of a lot of fun. So if you live in Buffalo, on August 16th, write in David Iverson for Buffalo City Council. So let's get rolling with the program. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Crickets Cheney or Sleepy Joe Biden and you have no idea what you're supposed to be doing, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself, just like you should have been doing instead of sending out those dumb flyers that everybody in Wyoming got yesterday. This segment of the program is brought to you by 307 Cowboy Country. They are central and southeastern Wyoming's full line of Montana shed dealers. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a greenhouse or a garage or any small structure, well, then you need to call my friends Bryce and Melody Reese at 307-441-1815, and they can fix you up with the exact building that you've been wanting on your property. Montana Shed Center, buildings for life. Now, if you are also running for office and you'd like to advertise on the program, then shoot me an email. The address is david@cowboystatepolitics.com. I mean, honestly, who doesn't want to advertise on Wyoming's most listened to political podcast? And if you're a Democrat and you have the guts to advertise on this program, I might actually give you a discount. After all, I like you guys a heck of a lot more than I do redcoats. At least you people are honest about who you are. Now, I assume you probably got one of those dumb Liz Cheney flyers in the mail yesterday, and if you didn't, count yourself lucky, but I noticed a couple of things on mine. First of all, Crickets Cheney is obviously in favor of filters. That picture of her on the front, man, it's from like 10 years ago. Nobody looks that way, unless, of course, you're on a dating app, which, evidently, back in 2016, Wyoming citizens mistakenly did when they elected you. Don't worry, Liz. On August 16th, you'll be receiving your own Dear Crickets letter when we break up with you. The other thing I noticed is on the back of it, with a picture of the Tetons, and if you look at it carefully, that particular section is actually in the shape of the state of Virginia. I know, Liz, that picture just probably reminded you of home. Everyone should just cross out their own address on that dumb flyer and write return to sender, no thank you, or whatever snide comment you'd like to send to Crickets. I'll post a picture of mine to CowboysStatePolitics.com. Moving on. Wow, incredible flooding that's happening in Yellowstone National Park. The pictures and videos that I've seen are just amazing. As we all know, however, Wyoming citizens are not unfamiliar with huge weather events. On a normal year, the amount of water that goes through Yellowstone National Park really is amazing. That's why when I stumbled upon this dumb article in EcoWatch, dated June 25th of 2021, I just had to tell you about it. And I quote, "The climate crisis is here, and it is already transforming one of the most iconic national parks in the United States." That's the conclusion of the Greater Yellowstone Climate Assessment, a collaboration between university and government researchers published Wednesday that assessed how global warming temperatures have already impacted the iconic park and its surroundings, and may continue to do so in the future. Quote, "Greater Yellowstone is valued for its forests, rivers, fish, and wildlife," U.S. Geological Survey scientist and report co-lead author Steve Hostetler said in a USGS statement. "The trend towards a warmer, drier climate, described in this study, will likely affect ecosystems in the region and the communities that depend on them." End quote. And you'll never guess which two totally conservative universities helped out with this study. That would be the University of Wyoming and Montana State. Bastions of conservatism. Anyhow, and according to them, the climate around Yellowstone is getting hotter and drier as we speak. But that was a year ago, and we all know how quickly the climate is changing.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen.
Oh, it's been far too long since we used the fake news button.
All I can say is it's totally fake news. It's just fake. It's fake. It's made up stuff.
Well, while I was doing show prep for this morning, I stumbled upon a very concerning report from CNN. Here it is.
We've got some stunning new video highlighting the very real impact of climate change. The house on the banks of the Yellowstone River, consumed by floodwaters on Tuesday. Take a look at this. The Yellowstone has swelled to its highest level ever recorded, thanks to heavy rainfall in the area, as well as a heat wave that's melted nearby snowpacks.
Well, yes, I'm sure the folks in Montana can look at that coastal erosion or sea level rise story and think we're safe. No one imagined that the Yellowstone River would swell to such violent power to take away a home that probably had plenty of clearance on a normal year, but normal years are gone, unfortunately. That's the main reason. And these heat domes are having these knock-on effects on infrastructure. Here in North America, also over in Europe, North Africa, you're seeing it there as well. And, you know, they've had floods before. They had rough years in 89 and 97 in this part of Montana and Wyoming.
You're CNN. You're fake news. You have an agenda.
I don't know. I mean, floods like this have never happened before, ever. I mean, just think. Last year, according to EcoWatch, we were in the middle of a drought, and the climate in Yellowstone was going to be hotter and drier than ever. But not according to David Knowles on June 14th, in an article entitled "Atmospheric River That Ravaged Yellowstone National Park is Part of a Climate Change Pattern," published in Yahoo News, and I quote, "Unprecedented rainfall leading to an unprecedented flooding closed Yellowstone National Park on Monday, a turn of events that scientists say has all the hallmarks of climate change. As the park received 2.5 inches of rain and nearby mountains were hit with as much as 5 inches, that sped up snowmelt. A torrent of floodwaters washed out the roads and bridges throughout Yellowstone. Due to record flooding events in the park and more precipitation in the forecast, we've made the decision to close Yellowstone to all inbound visitation," Cameron Cholley, the Yellowstone superintendent, said in a statement. "The extreme rainfall quickly melted mountain snow, resulting in runoff that caused streams and rivers to overflow their banks. The same so-called atmospheric river or tropical moisture that dumped rain on Yellowstone set June rainfall records in Seattle, which received more than an inch on June the 9th and pushed the Columbia River in Oregon to near flood stage. Most recent scientific research has linked climate change to extreme weather, and this past week has offered yet more evidence of how that connection can play out. Daniel Swain, a climate scientist at the University of California, Los Angeles, last year, drought of epic proportions. This year, massive flooding. Obviously, my friends, this is climate change. I don't know how you could see it any different. Except, of course, that their theory makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Preeminent Wyoming meteorologist Don Day agrees with me. To the cow pie, in an article entitled, Wyoming Meteorologist Scoffs at Media Blaming Climate Change for Yellowstone Flooding, published yesterday. And I quote, Don Day, the founder and CEO of Day Weather, on Tuesday scoffed at the statement of a Los Angeles Times reporter that warm weather on the East Coast, wildfires in the Southwest, and the Yellowstone floods are proof of the weather phenomenon. Quote, this is what climate change looks like, Sammy Roth, an LA Times energy reporter, said in an emotional tweet. Day, in an interview with the Cowboy State Daily, differed with Roth's conclusions. Quote, if these people had any understanding of weather history or what has happened in the past with weather and climate across the globe, then they would have an appreciation that things like this happen all the time, and they happened all the time before the Industrial Revolution, Day said. No matter what the weather, some people will just blame climate change for everything. Now, if you didn't know, Don Day is the type of meteorologist that could tell you that at 10:05 on Tuesday, a gigantic hailstorm is going to hit French Creek Road. And if you didn't listen to him, you were going to have a headache. Honestly, my friends, this whole climate change thing is the same stringing together of disconnected facts that the left always accuses us of and then calls us conspiracy theorists. But because all of these wackos claim that it's climate change, we're all supposed to accept it as fact. Total bullcrap. Oops, I forgot. Governor Mark Gordon calls climate change one of the heads of the twin-headed monster Wyoming is facing. Ugh, ugh. How anyone could believe in all this business, I'll never know. Next up, we have an interview with Tommy Strock, who is a candidate for Wyoming House District 6 in Converse County. But before we get there, let's pay some bills. We'll get back to the program in just a second, but first, an obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a giant roping arena or a huge warehouse, or if you just need some place to stash all of your equipment and keep it out of the sun, well, then you need to call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. And let's be honest, in Wyoming, there's only two seasons, winter and construction, and you know which one we're in. So it doesn't really matter what you've got in mind. Give Nick and Jesse a call, and they can handle all the details. 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. It's my favorite time of week, my friends. Things that go boom time. With Gunrunner Auctions. If you missed last Wednesday's Gun of the Week, that historic Remington Model 95 Derringer is still available. It's lot number one. You should really go to Gunrunner Auctions and check it out. That thing is something to see. For this week, we have another antique. It's lot number 63. It's a James Reed Knuckle Duster 22 caliber revolver. It's in excellent condition. The frame has an excellent silver-plated finish with cast-in engraving, and there's only a few light corrosion spots. There's a correct, quote, my friend and patent date inscription on the left side of the frame. The cylinder has an excellent plated finish with few tiny corrosion spots. It's a single action, and everything works just fine. This would be an excellent piece for anybody's collection. Now, if you're not into rare and different Derringers, well, you should go to Gunrunner Auctions anyway, and you'll probably find a gun that you don't even know that you're looking for. Now, Gunrunner Auctions also has a wide variety of ammunition and accessories. You can find just about any type of firearm accessory or anything else at GunrunnerAuctions.com. I'm positive that Scott Weber and his team have a firearm that you don't even know that you're looking for. That's GunrunnerAuctions.com. Don't forget about the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, follow it, and tell everybody you know about it. Of course, I'll post all of the episodes there, but also anything I find during the course of the week that I think you might be interested in. And if you'd like to reach out to me on social media, at Truth Social, my handle is at David Iverson. Or if you really feel like wading into the sewer that is Twitter, my handle is at David Dom Iverson. And now, back to the program. Today, I was able to catch up with Tommy Strock, who is running for House District 6 in Converse County. We had an excellent discussion. Here it is. Joining me on the phone is Tommy Strock. Tommy is running for House District 6 in Converse County. How are we doing today, Tommy?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, welcome to Cowboy State Politics. And the first question I always ask is for you to tell us who you are. So tell us who Tommy Strock is.
Well, to start off with, I'm a mother of six children, and I have eight grandchildren. And then also, the other thing I am a rancher. I have sheep and put up a lot of hay. And then I'm also a believer in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that, I guess, would sum up of who I am.
All right. Now, you own the ranch that's right by I-25, right?
I do. I do own it, yes.
Listeners to Cowboy State Politics may remember a little controversy about a sign that's right along I-25 that's on your property. Could you tell us a little bit about that and what happened with it?
So my daughter and I have been very involved in True Care the last few years, which is a crisis center for mothers, women that find themselves pregnant. And so we have two signs up on the ranch, and the two places is actually that piece of the land is actually still owned by my father, Tom Strock. But we had a couple signs put up, and they are about against the abortion pill and then one supporting mothers and children. And we actually had the highway department call and send us a letter asking us to remove those signs, that they were because of it being an advertisement per se, because it was saying there was a way to stop this abortion. Once you went down and took the abortion pill, it was actually advertising a reversal on that abortion pill. So they asked us that we were not zoned correctly and to take those down.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yes, very much so, considering you've seen all the signs that are out there. So what we did, we made a lot of phone calls, but the main one that was to you, to Cowboy State Politics, and we just started instantly fighting this, and none of us were going to take the sign down because we believe it's against our personal rights, for one, property rights, freedom of speech. And so we just called out to people that we felt were very strong in these subjects and could help us fight it.
The end of the story was, of course, the sign is still there and we were successful.
It was. And it's such a wonderful feeling. And we really appreciated everyone that went to bat for us, and especially you, because I believe yours was actually the call that made the difference.
Well, thank you. All right, Tommy, let's hit the nail on the head. Why in the devil do you want to go down to the middle swamp?
the only reason I want to go down when you're complaining and hate what's going on in the politics and what is going on in our state government, local government, I would say, and federal government. If you're going to complain, you really should go ahead and do something about it and get in the fight with the rest of them. The people that are fighting for our freedom and fighting for the truth, which would be pretty much our grassroots and fighting for the Constitution. And that would be the main reason I chose to get in.
Okay, now you're running against Aaron Clausen. Now, Aaron, so Tommy, what are the issues in Converse County?
Well, Converse County has high property taxes. We are now losing a lot of our jobs because of the mandates, or actually the policies that are being brought down, but in our coal and then our oil and gas, even the railroad. So those would be quite a few of them. We also had problems during the mandates that were being put down, which are not laws, but our hospital chose to really come down hard on their employees forcing the vaccine. And so pretty much we're about ready to lose a good hospital also because of that.
Let's say that you were already in Cheyenne. What, in your opinion, would have been a good outcome out of the special session?
Well, first of all, we should have voted to protect our employees to have a personal choice. They were not given that. That should have been the main focus of that special session, and that's what it was supposed to be, but they chose not to really take care of that and to protect all our people throughout the state against the mandates that were being pushed.
What would you say would be the main difference between you and Representative Clausen?
Well, first of all, I care about what our people think and our people's rights, and also feel like it's important to stay true to who we are and not to want to be one of the crowd, one of the leadership. I do feel like his main was want to be popular. And I guess that does not matter to me. I believe I want to hear what the people have to say, and I want to be a servant for the people.
One of the things that sticks out in my mind with this past legislative session is how all of them voted on whether or not they should investigate Dan Zwanitzer. Aaron Clausen was one of the folks that voted to not even investigate. Why don't you talk to me about that? What are your feelings on that whole issue?
Well, anytime someone is going against what is the Constitution, what the laws are, what we have written up in the books, we should investigate them and give him, you know, if he was in the right, give him a chance to say it, but we needed to investigate to find out if that was true or not. Should not have been put in the drawer. Should have been done. Partly, the people need to have answers. I feel that's kind of hiding. Anytime you keep things hidden and keep them in the dark, there's a reason for that. And everything should be brought out into the light.
I couldn't agree with you more. If you were just asked by one of your constituents, why should they pull the lever for you instead of their current representative?
Well, one of them would be his voting record. And as an example, he voted against bringing SF-0051 out of the speaker's drawer for debate in a vote.
Okay, what was that bill?
Well, the bill was to prohibit boys from competing in girls' sports. And that, I cannot believe that he would do that.
So that one, you know, there's a couple of votes that stick out in my mind in this last legislative session. And this is one of them. I mean, it boggles my mind why anyone would be in favor of that. And I mean, there's only a couple of answers or a couple of reasons why our elected representatives didn't want that thing to come out. And unfortunately, one of them is they have to believe in that. And I think that that's very destructive to our children, to our communities. And certainly Wyoming citizens are not in favor of that.
No, I would agree. I don't know very many people that are actually in favor of that. It is very, it's awful. You know, honestly, it's not even healthy for the boys. It's definitely not healthy for the girls. It's terrible for our children.
Absolutely it is. And it just speaks to this indoctrination that's happening in Wyoming schools right now. So another one that really stuck out in my mind, Tommy, was how all of these guys voted on education funding, the whole budget, really. So how did Representative Clausen stack up with all of those votes?
Well, he got a 50% budget score, which is on evidencebasedwyoming.com, meaning he added a lot of money to the governor's budget.
You know, school funding in Wyoming goes up around $200 million a year. And I mean, that's just set on an escalator. It doesn't matter what we do. Our school budget just automatically goes up. And so what that tells you is that $200 million was not enough for those folks down in Cheyenne.
Well, and I would like to know what they're actually doing with all that money.
I doubt if they could figure it out.
So, yeah.
One of the other issues that I'm personally invested in is figuring out, like, and you just mentioned it, where does all of this money go? Because we're talking about dollar numbers that are so huge that most of us don't even understand how much money that is. And so I'd like to see our state auditor actually be able to do an audit.
Oh, I would too. I think there is so much hidden there's hidden agendas, there's hidden truth. I mean, on these, how our money's spent, and all of this really does need to be brought out into the light. It's the same with our voting, the fraud that happened with that. Everything has been put in the dark, been put in closets and drawers. They've been told not to dig. A lot of these people have been told what to do. We don't have people that will actually fight and dig into things and find out what the truth really is.
So if you were elected, Tommy, would you join the Freedom Caucus or would you be more of a moderate? Tell our listeners where Tommy Strzok fits on the whole political spectrum.
Well, I totally would support and be a part of the Freedom Caucus. And I will tell you, I was vetted by the Freedom Caucus. And if they did not feel that I would be what they were looking for, I would not have run. Because that's where, who I am and where I will stand with.
Excellent. Well, Tommy, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about that we didn't already cover?
I just ask that everyone go out and vote. And I know that it could be discouraging because of what happened in 2020, but I just ask that you go ahead and go out and vote and make your voice be heard, because if you don't like what's happening, and we cannot change it without doing our research and voting for like-minded people that are ready to fight for our freedom. And thank you. I appreciate your vote.
All elections are important at the state level all the way down to the city level. We have to get conservatives elected to public office. That's the only way that we're going to turn this thing around and get sound money and conservative policies happening in the state of Wyoming. Throughout this election season, you're going to hear several candidates on Cowboy State Politics. And frankly, if you don't hear your candidate on this program, you need to ask them why. On the next installment of Weekend Update, we're going to have a bit of a departure from state politics. I have a conversation with a couple of journalists from Nepal. It's a fascinating discussion, and I know that you're going to enjoy it. Well, that'll do it for today's episode. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.